What's Up Fandom Night, episode 25, What's Up 9. Okay, welcome to What's Up Fandom Night. We are current. This is, you guys don't hear it, but this is the third time that we've tried to start.
Plug this mofo recording. In.
It is. It's all plugged in. We got the mics and
look,
the spikes.
Third time's a fucking charm, okay? The first time, I'll admit to it being my fault, because usually you turn the fucking soundboard on, but I was like, fuck it. If Bill left his computer on, since me and Scotty get here balls early, we'll go ahead and we'll do some shit while your fucking lazy ass is sleeping.
Damn right.
Because you're old and shit.
Fuck yeah.
So I was like, all right, we'll get some shit done. So I plugged in the mics, which Scotty didn't plug my mic in all the way, and I noticed when we were doing the sound test.
That's awesome.
But I mean, you know, it's all good.
Scott's like, yeah, this loud motherfucker.
No, that would have been Nick.
Oh,
been
just unplug him a little bit.
Yeah, we still would have picked his ass up. He's loud enough. Just like I know I am, for anybody who paid attention to the Super Sentai episode where they decided to talk Sailor Moon, and you could still hear me cussing out Shane when Shane's talking about how he watches porno for the storyline.
That was funny as shit, by the way.
Yeah.
So, William Bush, Reploid Bill.
Sud Level Sario.
Scott Action Jackson.
And by the way, his name isn't Reploid Bill, it's Reploid Bill.
Wait. Are you sure it's not Reploid Billy?
They're referencing a video I did. Let's whore the website. Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. All right, guys, I'll leave you alone. There we go. Yakky Smacky Business is out of the way, so this is What's Up 9.
Which is a lot more than the last one I did, if I remember correctly.
What do you mean?
I don't think I've been in a What's Up since, like, 6.
Really?
I don't think. Yeah.
You weren't in 8? I don't...
Again, I don't fucking know. I think
8 turned out the same way that it's turning out now. I think it was me, you, and Scott, and that's it. Because we were kind of forced into having to do it ourselves. Because the other guys, they either don't show up or they show up late.
Yeah.
And
I don't know.
Show up
it's,
late.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, usually I'm good about watching and listening to our shit, but I've been busy lately.
Well,
so.
with the catch up, it's been different because we've been trying to get the podcast current, and now the podcast it's current. This is it. I even posted on I think What's Up 8. I even did like a no. I posted one of your all time favorite episodes just for you.
Oh Sam. Yeah, Swags.
I had to change the name because it. Little bit.
It couldn't be Star Wars and gay shit because we're look, that was the original title of
the
name
original.
Because back when we were doing it, Bill had a place out in Chillicothe. So we were doing it like a test with new sound equipment, like legit like how we're doing it now.
Yeah.
Only we didn't have like a big board or anything, like we just had a small board
we had one tiny soundboard that could split two mics.
Yeah.
So we had to pass around these two microphones.
Like here.
I had to say something here. And then I would pass you the mic.
Yeah, literally it was Bill and Shane were sharing a mic, and then me and Kevin, who, for those of you who don't know Kevin, you can listen to that one and you'll know who Kevin is.
He's gonna be coming back to do a show with me, probably some other people, but so far it's primarily gonna be with me on the Legacy of Gaming podcast, because a lot of people don't know, but one of the reasons that he left is he took his school very seriously, and he is, not wants to be, he is a game programmer now.
Yeah.
So
he's
already
been devving games for cell phones now.
Yep. So far he's devved 3 games for cell phone.
Yep.
He's produced, he's put one out. The other two are still in final stage.
Yeah.
And he's working on 2 new ones, and he's got this computer game that he's working on. And the computer game he's working on is part of what I'm going to talk to him about, because his concept is really, really interesting. It's something that I've never heard of, and I got to give him 1,000 credit for what he came up with. He's creating a game where it's going to be something close to like a Mario. It's a platformer, okay? But here's where his game differs from other games. Power-ups. Normally, a power-up allows you to approach the level in a different fashion, such as you might fly or be able to shoot fireballs or do crash moves or something, right? Well, his power-up is different. You get power-ups that allow you to alter the level.
Nice. That's actually what I was about to say, is he's going to make the level change.
So what he's going to do is, like, you might come across an area where the jumping is a lot more difficult, and what you can do is you can get this power-up right before that, which will close all the gaps on the floor. But it'll alter the level so a different event will take place, and you'll end up with a different kind of challenge. So you'll be like, I need to pick, you know, which kind of, how am I going to approach this? Am I going to hit this block and change it? Because right now it's a jumping thing. It's the little platforms, and you might have a pain in the ass trying to jump across the platforms. But if you jump up and hit this block, it's going to turn all that to more like a straight foundation where there's not holes in the ground, but it's going to add a different kind of problem. So something might come out of the sky, or new enemies might show up, or something. So your power-ups don't affect you, they affect the level around you.
That actually does sound rather interesting.
And it's still got a lot of work, and he's got to figure out how to make it playable, because it sounds good in concept, but the implementation is where he's having problems. Because you got to figure out, you still got to keep it a game. And you can't create cheap shit where they have to be able to change the level in order to play, because what he wants you to do is he wants one level to be basically four different levels. And depending on how you use your power-ups depends on how the level progresses. And that's what he's trying to do. And it sounds really cool. He's gonna come back to the show, and I'm going to have an interview with him for those four games and the one he's working on. And then I believe I've also worked out something with him. I've still got to make the phone call, but I believe I'm going to try to get him onto XS Gaming Podcast also to talk about his stuff. But that's why he's not around anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured that's what the problem was. I know I need to get a hold of him sometime, because as I've stated before, I've been trying to work on a book for quite a while. And my problem is my lazy ass hasn't gotten up to actually write anything in, like, years. Like, I think I'm still on page, like, 50.
Right.
And in my head, the book is well over like 3,000 pages. So I still have a hell of a task ahead of me. But the way that my story is set, like the actual universe that it's in, I almost want it to like cross multiple platforms. Like, write the book is the main story. Like, if somehow I could get like a film deal out of it, or even if it's something shitty, like just like an indie thing for like YouTube, like Us Do It. Like, that would be another part of the story. Another part would be, like, a video game. Another part would be, like, a continuous comic book line type of thing. Like, literally, the entire story would be, like, cross-platform type of thing. So, if he gets good enough at games, I'd be like, dude, here's an idea. Turn it into something.
What's Hold up, Scott? Uh-oh.
Speaking of games... Happy belated birthday to Dragon Quest that is now officially 30 years old.
Holy shit, son.
Posted that up on the forums yesterday. Go check it out.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to. And by the way, yeah, he's right, 1,000%. Let's get that one out of the way real quick. Please visit the forums.
Oh,
Yeah, the forums are kind of bare as far as visits.
No, I've been adding to them now. Yeah. Not in terms of people, but I'm adding topics constantly now. Like every day I've been adding a topic. So I'm trying to get some talk on there. Look, the forums is a better YouTube is fine, but these don't go up on YouTube, and the emails work fine, but the forums are a more direct way and a quicker way for me to figure out where the audience sits, like what they want to see or what they want or how they feel about stuff. So I've added certain things to the forums, like I added a page for greatest moments in manga, like one of the greatest things you've ever seen. Post a picture of one of your favorite events or something like that. Like, I went ahead and started it with the introduction of Roronoa Zoro from One Piece. It's not actually one of my all-time favorites, but I always liked the way that he was introduced. And then I added a couple areas, like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 7 Movies is one of our topics on the forums right now. So you can go in and tell us what you think about 7 Mighty Movies.
I heard about that. I'll probably
throw something in about that.
I feel like the way that everybody's been reporting it, they've been, like, not saying it with the right inflection.
Yeah.
Like, the way that okay, I can't remember if it was something that you shared, Scott, or if it was something I saw on YouTube before this, but it was literally, like, one of the videos was somebody being like, so in an interview over the phone with a newspaper with the guy in charge of Lionsgate who's making the Power Rangers movies, he was like, yeah, no, these movies are doing so well that we can make, like, 4 or 5 or 6 or maybe even 7 of them. And I'm like, okay, so it's not a guarantee that they're going to make 7 goddamn Power Rangers
movies. They
got to
make the first one first.
It's just he said, she said shit. It's one guy that talked to one guy that heard from one guy that there might be a possibility of 7 movies.
Yeah.
And that's all. It's just like the Star Trek films. When they first signed up these guys, they said, hey, you're signed up for 5 movies. But had the first fucking movie flopped, there wouldn't have been 5 movies anyway. So basically what I get out of that is contract basically says there's a possibility of 7 movies in all if the contract would go through full term. But that doesn't guarantee that it goes full term.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, as for Dragon Quest's birthday, holy shit, dude. I loved me some Dragon Quest. I played it when it was Dragon Warrior on the Nintendo.
If you want to see that review, I put a link up to it in the forums on the post.
Really? Awesome.
Well, speaking of the disembodied voice needing to steal microphones from people, so it's been a few years since What's Up 2, and What's Up 2 we did on the actual anniversary, what was it, the 15th anniversary of EverQuest? So is that shit legal now? Can you finally do EverQuest?
Oh, no.
Oh, he just laughs. I don't know if that's some legit shit or not.
He said he was biding his time back then.
And Scott just shakes his head.
It's because I would never touch EverQuest whatsoever, so.
Dang!
Woo!
Scott hated.
I have enough issues with WoW.
Oh, yeah, but WoW's not EverQuest.
Yeah. Kind of a few with DCO.
DCUO.
You kind of gave that up quick. But you probably played it before I ever got involved with it. But you seem to, like, you were on there for a day with me. And that's it. Then you were done.
Yeah, but then again, as I've also played...
Well, the other problem also came down to a matter of somebody else we were playing with was being a bit of an asshat, like he always is.
Really? That's surprising.
Yeah, I know.
Then again, I've also played Elder Scrolls Online. And then I'm looking forward to whenever Star Trek Online comes out.
It almost seems like you don't like online games. You must suffer from the same problem I do. I don't care for MMOs. Like, the one I'm playing right now, the only reason I'm playing it is because it's midnight and a couple of my friends happen to be on it. So I get on there and I talk with them and I play.
I give it a shot when I feel like it, but otherwise...
Then you're not an MMO guy.
Unless it's a subject that I like and enjoy.
Well, To play an MMO, you can't play it when you feel like. That's the problem. That's what makes me not an MMO person. And it sounds like it's the same thing that's doing for you, because if I played Final Fantasy XIV today, one time next week, and then maybe after I finished the new Hyrule Warriors for my Game Boy, you know, like just take breaks, then I would be at like level 30 and everybody would be at level 60 doing the post-game stuff, and it's pointless. I can't even play with them.
Oh, you mean like my issue with Grand Theft Auto Online, where my character is level 11, while everyone else is like level 120,000.
Well, that's because you have to play. You have to put time in, and that's where the problem is. You have to put massive time in.
Slight technical fuck-ups around here. There's too many cords and not enough places to sit, so we're trying to rearrange some shit. Hold up.
But anyway, yeah, I, I do play. I have played Elder Scrolls Online before, and I do enjoy the Elder Scrolls games overall, and I do like this one. But, like I said, I'm looking forward to whenever Star Trek Online comes out, and I'm guessing the rest of our crew that has PS4s will probably be jumping on that too.
Oh, I'll be playing Star Trek Online. I'll be trying it. Trying it is the key word, because I have never heard a good thing about it. Never. Every single person that has played it has told me negative things. Not one positive thing have I ever heard about it.
Hopefully it's free to play.
It is free to play.
Yeah, I was about to say, it'll probably be like...
It's just like DCU. It's free to play, and there's going to be certain things that are going to be locked because of the fact that it's free that you would have to pay to get.
Yeah. But again, if it comes down to a matter of being the same problem that I'm having with DCUO myself right now, I'm probably just going to end up skipping it. Because my problem is I haven't played DCUO in like a few months. First, because I didn't have internet. And now that I have internet, everybody's jumped over to Final Fantasy and I can't get anybody to play. And playing an MMO on your own is a fucking nightmare.
Oh, I know. I'm doing it.
It's not even worth your fucking time.
I'm doing it on 14.
Yeah.
Because they were all like, come over here and play 14. Come play 14 with us. 14. Come on, 14. We like 14. Come play 14.
Yeah, I tried it too.
So, yeah, but you're not experiencing the same problem I had. When I jumped over there, they were already level 60 doing the post game. And Final Fantasy 14 does not let you replay missions. So that means that the entire game I'm playing by myself until I reach level 60 to play with them.
Oh, no, I had that issue too. I started at level 1 and they were at like level 30-ish.
So you were trying to... Okay, well, yeah.
That's when I started.
Then that's... You could have fixed that problem in a day.
I wasn't always playing, though. That's
right, but you could have fixed that problem in like a day or 2 days. Yeah. I hit level 30 with the Thaumaturge in 3 days. 10 levels a night. That's all it takes for level 30. Once you get to the level 30, you get the crystal and you get to your advanced class, and then your leveling slows down exponentially. Like, it's taken me like... now it's up to like a level a night. So it takes forever.
Yeah.
It's just like with DCUO, you can get a level 30 guy in a day. Literally a day. But DCUO is different.
I was about to say, a day? We were maxing motherfuckers at 30 in like 3, 4, 5 hours.
Well, that's because unlike Final Fantasy 14, okay, with DCUO, you say, hey, I need to go do the Dr. Fate mission. And I say, hey, put me in your party. I've already beat that dude 12 times and I'm a level 114, but I go beat his ass for you. And you say, okay, and I can do that. I can go with you. In Final Fantasy 14, if you're too low to do the level, you can't do it. If you're too high to do the level, you can't do it. You have to be at that level of the mission. And if you've completed it before, you cannot redo the mission.
Yeah.
Last I checked, couldn't you, like, degenerate your level down to match up?
Only if you've never done it before.
Okay.
So, if I'm doing a mission, and you've already beat that mission with one of your other... because you've been playing and you're all the way up to level 60, and I say, hey, I need help, and you're like, what mission you on? Oh, well, I'm on fucking Tears of the Sun. And he's like, oh, I already did that. I cannot help you. I can walk next to you and kill the bad guys, but then you get no experience, because I'm killing everything.
Yeah.
So when you get to the end and you have to fight the boss of this mission...
And you've gained no levels because somebody else is pretty much saving your ass. Unless they're just walking around tanking and being like, run around, aggro everybody, put them in an area and be like, now just start throwing shit at them.
If I could have got in when they were level 30, I think I would have enjoyed it more. Because the secondary classes, what they could have done is they could have changed their classes to be level 1s with me. Like, somebody could have went back to the Conjurer or worked on the arrows or whatever they needed to do to work on their main class. And then we all would have been around the same level and we could have went and done fates and shit. But what it is right now is they're done. They're literally done with the game. They're level 60. They're doing nothing but post-game shit. Working on god weapons and shit. Yep. But me, I'm playing the game.
And again, the other problem is MMOs are not for casuals. You have to be hardcore on every fucking day. That's the reason why somebody we know their one of their spouses, that's all they do is they sit at home to play their MMO.
That's true.
The reason being is because you have to be there all day, every day. If you're not, you're fucked. You either get left behind or dropped from whatever group you're supposed to be hanging out with.
That's one of the things that kills me. Like, I'm part of a free company, but the free company is very powerful, and they're all doing stuff for raids and major stuff. Well, right now, I need to get all the way to level 60 before I can even do anything with the free company. The only thing the free company does, the only reason I stay with it is because sometimes I talk to this person named Iggy, and every now and then they'll post this thing through their guild, which basically siphons part of the experience they're getting and puts it into a pool, and then as I play, I can access that so my levels go up a little faster.
Iggy, that sounds familiar.
Because they're all level 60, so they don't get experience, so now their guild is gaining some sort of experience bank, and they can turn that on for me. And then as I'm playing, I get bonus experience.
Yep. It's kind of like your EXP share in Pokemon.
Yeah. But that's, yeah. Final Fantasy XIV, MMOs in general are usually not for me. The only reason I'm playing Final Fantasy XIV is, one, it's Final Fantasy. Two, that's where Greg and Shane and Nick are right now at night, so I can get on and I can hit up the PlayStation party. And sometimes if we notice that you're on and we're playing, we'll add you to the party.
Yeah. But at the same time, I don't play 14. I've been trying to play DCUO. And since nobody's playing
Greg is still on.
Well, I know he's still on. But like I said, it's very rare that I can get him to jump over. And even then, 9 times out of 10, I get home from work and I'm like, fuck it. I don't even feel like playing a game.
Right.
I'm going to catch up on my YouTube shit. Maybe find me a new video
and maybe
to download.
And maybe record.
Oh, yeah. And maybe record.
Going to maybe download a storyline?
Yeah. Download a storyline for Shane. make sure it's got big boobs and a giant dick just for Shane.
Dang.
That's an awesome story for Shane.
Everybody knows Shane's into that type of storyline.
He needs to know if she got her pizza.
Especially if we got there in 30 minutes or less.
I was gagging. So, normally our 10 with the what's up. So, go ahead, Seth.
Well, like I said, just the usual bullshit. Going to work, coming home. Like I said, catching up on anything I need caught up on. Been trying to play Doom. Got sidetracked because the new DLC for fucking Fallout 4 came out. So I beat it in like 2 or 3 days. Like, wasn't really anything that difficult. Let's see. I got pissed off at work because I busted my phone, so I was without my phone for a week. And apparently, if I were to have my phone, my boss was going to give me another building to do instead of the actual building that I clean now. Last Friday was supposed to have been my last day there. No, I had to work at my other building now because apparently the bitch that they hired to take over my spot didn't show up on Monday and hasn't been there since. She literally showed up, worked one fucking day of training, and was like, fuck this janitorial shit, I'm out. I'm like, really, bitch? You thought scrubbing toilets and cleaning floors was gonna be fucking easy? Really?
Fuck this janitorial shit.
Fucking dumb bitch. And then Scotty came up with the semi-brilliant idea that I might jump in on.
Which I'll bring up when I get
there. Yeah, I was about to say, I'll let him get around to it, but after that, it's been essentially playing Doom, getting pissed off because I can't find all the secret shit.
I heard there's a secret in the new Doom where you can go back to the Super Nintendo Doom, like the computer Doom.
Yeah.
Every
single level has what's referred to as classic maps, where literally what you have to do is you have to find a lever, pull the lever, and it'll open up like a normally locked door. You go through it, and literally it like goes 8-bit retro as fuck, like you're playing it off like the PC, the Sega, or the Super Nintendo. And you just kind of walk around in like this one little area. Sometimes there's an enemy, sometimes there isn't. usually it's like an extra cachet of like fucking health and ammo and armor and shit.
Yeah.
So you kind of walk in and it goes, secret found, classic map unlocked, and it tells you exactly like whether it's from 1 or 2, the exact level it's from. So like in the first mission, I think you unlock like 1-1 from Doom, which is literally the one where you walk in, kill the couple of like possessed Marines, pick up the shotgun, walk into the next room, and there's a fucking imp, so you can shoot the imp in the face with the shotgun and then move along type of thing. Like, it's really interesting, but my problem is 9 times out of 10, I can't find those, and if I do find them, I have no idea where the fuck the door opened up at. So, I woke up at 2 o'clock this morning, finally decided fuck it, and got up out of bed at 3:30 when I couldn't go back to bed. Sat up from like 4 after I got my shower until like 6:30 when I had to be out the door to get Scotty, just like running around through each one of the levels, being like, where are all the secrets that I missed? Because it's not like I'm trying to 100% the game, but you unlock extra weapon upgrades. So you get your shotgun, then you'll find a robot holding an item. Now you can either buy a triple shot for your shotgun, like an automatic burst type of thing, or like a grenade launcher for your shotgun. Okay, so you get that. Oh, well now I need these skill points so I can upgrade that, you know, add-on to my weapon. It gets a little ridiculous considering the fact that you can upgrade the pistol, the shotgun, which has 2 add-ons, the plasma pistol, which has 2 add-ons, the chain gun, which has 2 fucking add-ons, you have the super shotgun, also known as the boomstick, the double-barrel sawed-off, which only has 1 upgrade, much like the pistol does, but that shit still needs upgrade. There's a rail gun that has 2 upgrades.
Is it a rail gun?
Yes, it is a rail gun.
Oh, shit.
It doesn't fire trains,
but it's
a rail gun for our rail fan.
Dude.
But upgrading the suit, upgrading all the items, like, it's fun, but holy shit, it gets a little obnoxious after a while. So, like I said, it's been fun playing Doom and then going back through, like, Far Harbor and that, like, once it came out. It's pretty alright, but, like I said, it's just been like a normal fucking 2-3 weeks type of thing. Just work, sleep, play a game every now and again. Sign myself up for Netflix because the roommate was driving me insane, so I was like, here's Netflix password. Go fucking watch something. Because we don't have television. We just have internet. So Netflix is a godsend.
We didn't have it for a long time, television in general. And then the only reason we got it is because we went to get the internet, and they were like, hey, give us stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a phone call from a lady being like, did you know that if you give us an extra $5 a month, we'll send you a cable box so you could get HBO and everything? And I'm like, I don't have a normal TV. All my shit gets hooked through my computer monitor. Oh, well, that's fine. I mean, if you pay the extra money, you could get the HD upgrade, too. And I'm like, listen, bitch. All I have is a computer monitor. Well, then you could just go out and buy a TV that comes with the component cables. I said, listen, bitch, I got a fucking computer monitor and barely enough money to pay my $650 a month rent, my $150 fucking Silco bill, or at least that's what it was for this month, the $60 I'm giving you fuckers for internet, plus having to pay my car insurance, put gas in my tank, buying cigarettes, and not to mention food, so I can, you know, live.
That's overrated.
Yes, living is technically optional, but considering the fact that I promised too many people that I wouldn't just go jump off a bridge, I'm going to be nice and try to live with my one meal a day.
Delicious.
Usually pizza or pizza rolls or fucking pizza bagel bites or something with fucking pizza. Because, motherfucker, a pizza a day apparently will keep my fat ass fat. Not keeling over dead and shit. But, yeah. Yeah, that's been my fun. Other than, like I said, I'm needing to catch up on something to try to help Scotty. So, looks like we're on to you. What you got?
Well, I guess you'll have to start off with last week. Last Saturday, from what I'm guessing, is probably going to be my very last referee gig.
They shutting down the company?
No, I just said mine.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah. But
tired of having somebody drive your ass fucking 3 hours out of the way so you can sit outside in the sun for 16 hours and then have a 3-hour ride home?
Actually, that was an issue with that day. I was out in the sun for about five, 6 hours, which is why I was sunburning badly.
Yeah.
And there was two wrestling shows at a bike rally. And maybe about 30 people. So, yeah.
So what, you just feel like the company you're with is dying out and you're just looking to jump?
No, I'm just feeling worn out from refereeing.
Yeah, sadly it happens in the wrestling biz. Like, most people don't know it. Like, I know it, and I know Scotty does. But after a while, like, when people don't actually, like, show up for anything, not only do you not get paid, because nobody showed the fuck up and actually paid, other than, like, the handful of people that are there with, you know, boyfriends, girlfriends, whoever, that are actually in the show, and those motherfuckers usually get in for free. But if nobody shows up and pays that night, nobody gets paid for the entire night, even though, yes, it's fun, technically you're still kind of fucking yourself up for next to nothing.
Well,
so after a while, it just kind of gets old.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, it is me getting worn down. I mean, I started this all off back in 2001 with a company that Michelle kind of knows about. But I was there for a few months, then left because of some issues, at a car accident and some physical medical issues. And then I kind of restarted back in 2010, and I guess now kind of like 5 or so years later, I got over 5 years of refereeing experience now for a professional wrestling type. So it's like, maybe I'll just stop. I mean, I'm getting worn out from doing all these shows. Even when, some cases, it's like this one company I'm part of sometimes wants to do maybe 2 or 3 shows within a month. My work schedule isn't that loose.
Okay, but what about...
It's not as loose as...
is there any kind of compensation for doing the shows?
I mean, you get paid for each show, but yeah, that's about it. But, yeah, more or less, last week I got extra toasted, refereed 2 shows, mostly, I think, like 3 matches each show. But it's like, I'm probably done. I'm probably done refereeing. And that's as far as the referee stuff. But and then I picked up the Turtles game for PlayStation 4.
I was going to ask you about that Scott Play stuff. Is there a reason there's never a voice on the Scott Plays?
That's when I don't have the microphone working. With a microphone headset. When I do that, then it's more or less me doing voiceover over the...
And how are you doing that?
I usually try to use some of the Turtle Beach headsets.
No. Like... How are you doing the Scott Plays? Are you just using the
PlayStation 4 share right now?
Okay.
By way of YouTube.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, that's what I was curious of.
In the past, when I was doing it with, like, the PS3
because I've
games,
considered it myself once or twice, and then I've just never done it.
Yeah, when I did it in the past with the PS3 type games, that I just used the video camera I had. And did my own, like, little weird voiceover like I did with the Batman ones. Which was weird enough. Going like, hey, look, it's me. Hey, look, it's me. It's a, no, no, I'm not Bruce Wayne. Doing stuff like that's kind of... And with those things, I think I did try... I did a handful of those that way, especially with the PS3 system. But I picked up the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. I streamed that for the first time I tried playing it. I went through the tutorial, which was handy, figuring out the controls.
and then went through the first story chapter thing where I had to fight Bebop. And Bebop was robbing a bank.
Okay.
Yep. But the controls and controlling your brothers was kind of interesting. I mean, you hit the little pad on the center. It's like you can tell them to follow you or go all out and attack all the enemies. You can switch between different tactics that way. And to me, this game was... could have been worse. Could have been better. Could have been a lot better. I mean, it was getting a lot of baddish reviews. I had no problem with it.
Okay, look, from what I saw, this is easily one of the greatest turtle games ever released after playing Out of the Shadows.
Don't fucking remind me.
Because me and Seth beat that game.
After having to go through, like, the first three levels, like, four times, so we had enough shit to upgrade everybody to a point where we were like, oh, good, now we can finally beat the next mission.
And there are upgrades that don't work. You buy them, and they don't work. They, like, weren't programmed. Like, the programmers were like, they're not going to get this far anyway.
Oh, yeah. And you can keep going back and redoing missions over and over.
So, look, if I end up going to get that game, I have to say... probably it's going to be like, wow, Seth, this game is awesome. Remember the last game?
Yeah, boy, do I remember that last game where I was playing as fucking like Donatello and you were being fucking Leonardo and we're like, fuck Michelangelo and Raphael. Go ahead and give them motherfuckers their extra side weapon because at least they know how to use it.
Yeah.
We couldn't get the side shit to work. It was like, here's a secondary thing for your weapon. Cool. How do I use it? Here's a secondary thing for your weapon. Motherfucker, no. Tell me how to use this shit. It's in the manual. This is a digital copy, cocksucker. Tell me how manual. I fucking play this game.
It's in the manual. It's a digital copy.
There is one major downfall with this new game, though. No couch co-op. It's online co-op.
That's pretty shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's online co-op, single player, only offline.
Yeah, but the sad part is too many games have switched over to that anymore. Like, we've mentioned it multiple times. Like, in fact, like, three of the things you just got done saying we've made mention before. Bad reviews, 9 times out of 10, most companies are actually paid to review the game. They either get early advanced copies for, quote, reviewing, in which case usually that advanced copy comes with a $100 bill inside the case, being like, make sure that you say this is pretty fucking awesome.
I'm guessing that happens a lot with IGN.
Otherwise, we're not going to give you any more advanced copies. Then at the same time,
actually,
other times...
Part of it, what you just said, a lot of these companies, they don't even have to bribe. Here's the thing. If I send you a game, and I'm like, hey, review that, and you review it, and you do nothing but slam the shit out of me, well, then the next time I make the game, I'm not sending it to you. And the thing about this is that your job is to review games. That's how you're making money. Well, that means that you, as much as people like to think that the industry relies, you know... There's a double sword to it. You need my game to review early because they want the review before my game comes out. So I'm not at your mercy. You're at mine. So if you shit on my game so hard that it doesn't sell any copies, then the next time I'm not going to send you shit. And now you lose money. Because while people are looking for the review of my next Turtles game or whatever, you don't have it. So they're going other places to get it. And these other places know that while it's okay to say that there are things wrong with the game, you can't dog it too hard. But then this creates a problem where sometimes these reviewers, they want the games to keep coming their way. So they will lie hardcore and make the game seem so much better than they really are, because their positive review sells games, and then that makes me be like, hey, that guy, he sold a lot of our games, send him another game. And then the people are going to come back to you because you got these early reviews because you review so well. But it's not always accurate because of that. Like,
then there's also two other problems, too, which then the first would be a lot of these places, they get so many games that a lot of them really are shit. So when they finally do actually put out a review, it's after playing a bunch of dog shit that nobody ever wanted to play in their life, like Silver Surfer for the NES. And all of a sudden they're like, oh my god, this game is so fucking amazing. You wouldn't believe the last six pieces of shit I had to play. I mean, you know what, just forget about that last statement. Just, this game is so fucking amazing. And then the other thing is, it's essentially like a reverse of, like, think angry video game nerd. Like, James Rolfe, literally, there are times he's had to go out of his way to nitpick something to death to be like, this game is so fucking terrible. Meanwhile, it's like, the game really isn't that fucking terrible. You're purposely making nitpicking.
Most recently, his newest video, I haven't even watched it yet.
Oh, Paperboy.
Is Paperboy. And yep. I haven't even watched it, and I can tell you that's exactly what he's doing, is he's nitpicking Paperboy things that sucked, but he himself has already, on four different videos, talked about how he used to play Paperboy, and he said good things about it. So this is a guy who likes the game Paperboy. But since enough people didn't like the game Paperboy, he has to create a satire to make fun of Paperboy.
Kind of like, well, he was also, for Halloween one year, he did a bunch of reviews of the Castlevania games. Now, yes, the Castlevania games have had their flaws over the years and
He loves Castlevania 1 and 3.
Yes, he loves Castlevania. Two, he hates. He reviewed Symphony of the Night. And literally, he only had three flaws that he kept beating to death so much that literally Symphony of the Night was a side piece that only took like 5 to 6 minutes. He bitched about the load times. He bitched about how when you die, you have to deal with the game over. Oh, come the fuck on. Let me play the game. Main menu. Ah, fuck me. Hit the button. Yes, load a save. Oh, come on. Thank you, yes, let me pick my save. Loading? How much loading is there in this fucking game? And then he nitpicked on the fact that if you hit triangle, Alucard does like a fucking back dash, which is supposed to help you dodge certain incoming strikes, and he's like, what is this, to help you move faster? Oh, fuck, then I can't turn around and hit the enemy. Literally, he nitpicked a bunch of shit. Now, the load times, I'll give him. Everything else? No.
Well, it's exactly what you said, though. He has to create the illusion of how bad it is.
Yeah. Now, imagine he's trying to review it as a good game, and then he picks Silver Surfer.
That's what they're doing on purpose. That's their quote-unquote job. It's just like the Nostalgia Critic's the same way. He makes fun of movies that he likes.
Yeah.
But he knows that even though he likes the movie, he's a lot like me. He can still see the things in the movie that are stupid.
Yeah.
And he can make, like, I made fun of Bravely Default hardcore for, like, 6 episodes. I wouldn't get off of it because Nick did nothing but praise it, so I did nothing but tear it down.
Yeah.
Every time he loved it, I hated on it on purpose, but I've played and beat that whole game. So, like, if I didn't like the game, I wouldn't play it, which I've also told Nick. I'm like, what, motherfucker? Like, he's like, I fucking despise Final Fantasy XII. Worst game ever made. Fuck the people that made it. And I'm like, first off, shut the fuck up. Because you replayed that game 4 times and beat it.
Yeah.
And each time you got about fucking 40, 50 hours in. If the game sucks that bad, turn it off.
You wouldn't have fucking played it. You would have played it for like an hour or two and been like, what the fuck is this? And sold that shit immediately.
Right, when I don't like a game,
he wouldn't have kept rebuying it or replaying it or doing other shit.
Exactly.
With it.
So, like, you lose some of your credibility when you're like, oh, that's the worst fucking game I've ever played. I played it 6 times and beat it 3 times. What? Turn it off, dumbass!
If you hate the fucking game, don't play it. It's like, what the fuck? There was one game that I used to play over and over and over again. And I hated the fuck out of the game, but the problem came down to a matter of, it was the only game that I had. So I had to play the motherfucker. And again, I can't remember what it was. I know it was an old NES game. I think it might have been like Mario is Missing.
It's childhood gaming.
And it was the
habits.
Only fucking thing I had. Until it was like, hey, let's go to the video store. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I could get a new game for the weekend.
And then he
and only the weekend.
Then he accidentally rented like Wildcats or some dumb fucking game.
No, then I'd go over to my buddy's house where he had the fucking Captain Planet game.
Weekend.
And
ruined.
Fuck that game.
Also, I've been tackling away at the Fallout 4 DLC, the Far Harbor. Not as much as Seth has.
Look, just because I beat the entire fucking DLC in 2 days, even, you know, all the side fetch quests I could find, all the extra bullshit I could find, purposely going out of my way to be a nice guy, even though I really wanted to take that nuke key and blow up the entire fucking island, I was like, fuck this place. This place sucks.
I already had to backtrack on some of my previous saves already, so I'm being careful with Far Harbor.
I don't know why Fallout just reminded me of this. You guys remember when we were little, and you still somewhat experience this, Scott, but your grown-up would buy a game, and you'd be like, yay, and then you'd realize it was for a system that you couldn't play it on or something. Like, they'd be like, you like them video games, right? Like your grandma or something. You'd be like, yeah, and they'd be like, oh, I got you this... Saga game? And then I'm like, yeah, I have a Nintendo. Well, you could still play it, right?
No.
No, you don't understand.
Not unless I go over to my friend's house and steal his shit for a weekend.
Well, I just experienced it again. It's been years since I've had this experience.
Uh-oh.
My mother calls.
Oh, God.
And she's all like, she's like, I know you like
those. Did mom send you more alcohol?
She says, I know that you've been playing all these games. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of something I do. And she's like, well, I found one. She's like, I found one of them collector's editions because I know you like those. And I was like, sweet, what'd you find? She's like, I found a BioShock. It's got a big scuba man in it. And I was like, sweet. Like a statue of Big Daddy? That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. She's like, yeah, I got it for next to nothing. The guy didn't know what he had. Now I'm worried.
Yeah, because mom doesn't know what she has.
I'm like, okay, so it's a collector's edition? She's like, yeah. And I said, what's it for? And she says, it says for Xbox on it. It's like, okay, sweet, wow. I was like, you found... Okay, yeah, that's great. She sends it to me.
I think that's what I'm looking
at. And
I
opened it up, and I looked at it. She is right. It says for Xbox on it. But what it says specifically is exclusive for Xbox and Windows. She got me the PC game. Now, that's not a bad thing. I could play the PC game. But it's not quite what I was expecting was on the way.
No, I figured as soon as I was like, wait a minute. Of course, then again, to explain your mother to the crowd, she is the same woman that when you went down to visit her one time, she decided to roofie your drinks so you would pass the fuck out early so she could go off and do whatever the fuck she felt like doing. This is not a joke. Bill literally shows up. She goes, hey, here's a drink. Now, most people don't know this, but Bill doesn't drink alcohol that often. She goes, here you go, hun, here's a drink. And he goes, fuck, all right, I guess I'll have a shot with my mom. Couple minutes later, Bill goes, I ain't feeling so good, and he needs to go lay down and take a nap. Mom roofied his shit, so mom could go do her own shit and let Bill sleep like he was like an obnoxious 3-year-old. Be like, here's some Benadryl, go to bed.
You know all about that shit, don't you?
No comment. No comment from the disembodied voice. All right, never mind then.
But I've also still been working on Action Video Game Talk, which recently I've been adding to our Facebook page to try and help it a little bit, and our group, our community, our YouTube community, which you've hinted at one of your videos. And
Scotty's got another idea.
I'll get to it. I'm getting there.
Well, no offense, but we're already sitting at like 50 minutes, yeah, and we still have two Sentais to do.
But during this recent episode that I did, I was covering one news article, and by the time I posted the episode on YouTube, an update happened. It's like, fine, I'll just type in the update in the description. But I also brought up the whole E3 thing that's coming up pretty soon, which, you know, if anybody wants to check that out, go ahead. I put in there that we tried to cover it last year.
There's a lot of companies that are dropping E3.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
It serves no purpose anymore. E3, this is going to have to be an episode that we're going to have to cover on Legacy of Gaming. E3 is no longer relevant. There's no point to it.
Yeah.
We now have things like Nintendo Direct and the Sony newsletter and things like that. Why does E3 exist? We don't need it. You want to know what's going on? You got YouTube or streaming or direct services or like there's like a newsletter that comes out for all Square Enix where they just have like a conference where they talk for an hour.
Yeah.
Why does
Oh, you
E3...
mean like the conference where they said introducing Final Fantasy VII?
No,
the footage.
But I'm being serious. Like why does E3 exist? E3 exists to showcase new things, to say, hey, this is what's coming out. But if Nintendo already has Nintendo Direct where they've already done that,
yeah.
What is the E3? What's the purpose of E3 for Nintendo? Nintendo should just leave.
Yeah, I was about to say, all the major companies should be out. I feel like E3 should be for, like, not so much the indie developer, but for, like, the guy who has, like, next to no credit, like, fucking, what's the company I'm thinking of?
It should be a showcase of things that the industry misses.
Yeah.
Because nowadays, you're interconnected. Like, I can go on my YouTube and I can subscribe to Sony. And then every day they'll just send me an update of what's going on the Sony. From every game coming out to the commercials to interviews with the distributors and all kinds of shit. So, like, E3 serves no purpose, so it's a dying thing. You watch. Another 5 years, either E3 will be gone or it will completely change to be unrecognizable from what it was.
Question for you. Do you know what's covered at E3?
I've read of what companies are going to be making press conferences. And I think there's like two of them on Sunday and then like three of them on Monday. But Nintendo is doing their own separate Nintendo Direct video that weekend thing.
So. See, that's what I mean.
So you're only talking big companies, though, right?
Well, there's going to be like Bethesda, Sony, Microsoft.
But
Ubisoft.
There are other companies. There are tons and tons of companies that show up to these events.
Yeah, they
all with
their
new
games
tech
and stuff like
no,
that.
No, no, I
new
understand
stuff.
That. Things
the
like
big companies, though, they might end up dropping out of it.
And that's
I highly
what I
doubt
think,
that's possible.
That's what I think should happen. I think that E3, I promise you, E3 is an evolution. Nintendo is going to drop from E3. It's going to be inevitable. Because with the Nintendo Direct, there's no purpose. If they want to talk about the NX, they can hold a one-hour special Nintendo Direct where they talk about the NX. Why spend all that money and time to promote at E3 when they could promote off the Nintendo Direct that actually more people see?
The press lines at E3 are immense.
Right. No, they are. They're dwindling. Compared to where they were, they're dwindling. Every year, less creators have shown up, less companies have shown up, and less people are reporting on it every year.
Yeah,
so
he,
it is
he
dwindling.
Actually is kind of right. It used to be that E3 was let the fans in and let's talk to the fans. Then it became that the fans were, like, only half the fans were allowed in. The other half was going to be press.
Then it got to a point where it was like, no fans are allowed in. We're just going to let people that are inside the fucking company and press motherfuckers come in.
It's just a
and
giant,
look at the shit.
It's just a giant industry meeting that the press gets to take part in now.
Yeah, because so they were even arguing about why are they even still having, like, booths with gamer girls fucking running around in cosplay anymore.
That's a good question. It's a legitimate question. Why are the gamer girls still there? They're not there for the audience, and they're not there. Like, the only people allowed at E3 now are reporters and industry, and that's it. Those are the only guys that are even allowed in. So since it's a business meeting anyway, why all the fucking presentation except for the fact that it's streamed? But then, since it's streamed, like, to me and you, guess what? We're fans. We're not allowed into the event, so we see it through a stream. So there's no difference from seeing the stream from E3 or seeing the stream from Nintendo Direct. It's the exact same thing. It's no difference whatsoever. Build a stage at the Nintendo fucking soundstage.
Yeah, the only difference is what app you're using.
Right.
You can either watch it through the YouTube app, you can watch it through your Nintendo app, you can watch it through your PlayStation app, or you can watch it through your Xbox app. Which application do you want to watch this stream through?
And that's where it's going to happen. You give it another 5 years, E3 will either evolve to a point where it's unrecognizable to where it was when we were little, because it's already there. It's not... E3 used to be a big event. When I was a kid, we used to talk about how cool it would fucking be to go to E3.
Yeah.
Now, unless I have a journalist license, I can't even go. I can't get a ticket to E3. It's not a fucking convention. It's not an anime con.
Yeah.
In fact, E3 is being subtly replaced on that term because now, just like there are anime cons and comic cons, there are game cons. And the game cons are taking the place of what E3 used to be. It used to be a gaming event.
BlizzCon.
Yeah, right there. He just said it. E3 is a dying thing. It's not gonna. It's going to either fully evolve to a point that's unrecognizable to what it was, which is already in process, or it's going to die completely.
Yeah.
Because the game cons are already taking its place for the fans, because I would rather go to Game Con than E3. Even if I could get in now, I'd rather go to GameCon because that's where the fans are. And you know what? Yeah. A fucking stuffy suit business dude might be cool to meet, or one of the creators, like meeting Itagaki or something and shaking a hand might be cool, but I could do the same thing at a GameCon.
Looking at the pricing right now, you can go.
How?
Got a grand?
No, that's not a fan price. That's dog shit. I would rather go to a con.
For the 3-day pass... to be able to view everything at the expo, it's $9.95. But no. You can go.
When did they reopen Logs for fans?
I've never known it to be closed.
It was
they
closed.
Do,
it was closed.
I do know for a fact that they let journalists first.
Yes.
But I've never known it to be completely closed to the public. You just got to be able to pay that money to get your badge to get in.
Oh, man, fuck that. I'm telling you, the gaming cons are going to take its place. It is happening.
Yeah, I was about to say, I know of more people more excited to go to shit like BlizzCon, PAX, shit like that, than fucking E3. The only people excited to go to E3 are like motherfuckers like Nerdist, where they actually are journalists,
so they
can get the fuck in on the cheap.
It's
That's
dying.
The other thing,
I'm
too.
I'm telling you, it, the nostalgia is keeping it alive. It's just like The Simpsons. Why is The Simpsons still on the air? Because you watched it when you were 10.
Yep.
But it's more than just gaming. That's what I'm saying. The E3 is more than just gaming.
It's tech and stuff
it's
like that, too.
It's new tech.
But that's also showing up in the game cons. The game cons are new tech.
To an
tech.
Extent, but not nearly at the amount of E3.
No, because E3's been around longer. That's like saying Wizard World can be... the San Diego Comic-Con. It can't. It's not been around long enough yet. But Wizard World is off to a running start. It hit the ground running. It has celebrities every year, and some of them are big. These aren't small things. Like, Wizard World hit the ground running.
But
like, they've already had the Daredevil
and
stuff.
I don't believe E3 will die.
No, but it will evolve to a point where it's not going to be recognizable from where it was. It will become a tech show more than it will become a game show, where it used to be more of a game show than it ever was a tech show.
And see, I don't recall such a time. I always remember it being more focused on tech.
Oh, no. No.
Maybe you just paid attention more to the gaming aspects of it because that's what you were interested in.
I feel like there was more gaming involved in it.
All I know is Bill said it's a failing game show, so bum, 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 bum.
No, I mean, just like, yes, technology's always been there, but I feel like the gaming aspect of it has dwindled from year to year. I think it's a dying thing. I think it's going to change majorly from where it was. And I don't know, like, maybe you seen it as more of a tech show than I seen it as a tech show, and that's 100% possible. But the fact that I'm seeing less and less games, and that's what I was focused on, means that the games are going away, and it is becoming more of a tech show.
Yeah, and technically a lot of the tech, like, lately, has actually been going to CES, if I remember correctly. Like,
it's also a big one.
Yeah. Like a lot of it keeps going to CES. Now, the problem with it is the gaming section is literally, like, minuscule compared to the rest of it. Like, here's the new iPods that are coming out, and here's the new iPads, and here's the new Zune, and here's your new fucking MacBook, and here's a brand new car completely made out of Google pieces. I don't know where they got Google pieces. Maybe it was made out of Bitcoin. I don't know. But it's a brand new car that can drive itself and wipe your ass.
Maybe if I was
maybe
given,
rub your balls and make you pancakes.
Maybe
I don't
if
know.
I was given a chance to go there off of the nostalgia factor, I might be excited in terms of the nostalgia factor. But I would have been more interested to go to it in the 90s and early 2000s. Like, from 1995 to 2005, I think, is a very strong time for E3. And I really do believe it's gotten less interesting every single year.
That's right before we hit the Depression. I want to say 2005 was right there before we hit the Depression, where everybody started cutting jobs, cutting production, cutting all of that.
So you think it suffered from that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. To that, I have no doubt. Everything suffered from that.
I don't know. McDonald's seems to be doing pretty good.
No, they even cut pay.
No. No, they're doing pretty good.
They want their $15 an hour.
Oh, my God. It's never going to happen.
So they could fuck up your burger, but you have to be okay with it because they're getting $15
an
hour.
That's a load of dog shit.
So I do have one last thing to try and bring up here. I've had numerous projects that I wanted to do, and most of them I couldn't do because I've been was busy with videos for our stuff and action video game talk. But one I actually got around to starting and made a preview for. I'm starting a bridge series,
which I'm gonna jump in on because that motherfucker's gonna need some help with voices.
Yeah. I got an actual Facebook page for it, a YouTube page for it, so it's own YouTube page. So I don't have to worry about, you know, block this because of some stupid thing. But it's the 80s cartoon series, The Adventures of Teddy Ruxpin.
For those of you who can't see, because this is radio and not television, Bill has a very, like, odd, concerned look on his face, like, fucking what?
Look, I was excited for a second. I thought we were gonna, like, abridge Power Rangers or some shit. And
oh,
I was
we
like,
could probably get around
I
to
was
doing
like, oh,
that,
this
too.
Is gonna be
one
sweet.
One of the ideas I had was a Thundercats abridge.
And then all of a sudden he dropped his Teddy Ruxpin on me, and all I could think was 2XL is better. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Thank you for turning me on. That's what he used to say.
I don't know if Michelle... Does Michelle ever heard of Teddy Ruxpin or remember it?
Yes. My sister had a Teddy Ruxpin.
So, if you remember that, you might have remembered some of the stories that it told.
Very vaguely. It's been a long time.
Okay. But, yeah, with my idea for this abridged series, it's just going to cover one arc. That's
it. Bill still has the look on his face.
It's going to cover one major story arc. I know the original cartoon series had about 60-some episodes. That's not going to go this far. This is not going to go that far. Nowhere near it. I mean, for every normal episode that was in the cartoon series, I'm hoping to at least do maybe two out of every one episode. And it's going to be kind of like a Kai, how it's going to be cutting out Filter. And Bill's not too sure about
Yeah,
it.
Bill's not okay, too sure. Look.
This isn't fair. It's not fair to you. I did not grow up with that.
Neither did I. I had
a Teddy Ruxpin, but then I got a 2XL, and I threw that fucking bear away. And I never watched the cartoon. I never read any of the comics. I never had any of the yellow books. Like, Teddy Ruxpin, he basically doesn't exist for me. Like, I know what he is, but I know him more from, like, I Love the 80s.
Yeah.
Fucking VH1 show.
Yeah, a lot of people do. I mean,
believe me, I was about to say, I've never seen any of the cartoon. When it comes right down to it, I'm helping him because, like I said, one, he's going to need more than, like, the three voices he's got. No offense to you, Scotty, but you're going to need help when it comes down to the voice acting, for one. Two, I'm hoping this might help you with some scripts and shit because, not going to lie, we've kind of kicked around the idea of doing like a radio play type of thing. So it's a possibility of maybe if we can get this to work a little bit, maybe then that'll help push like other ideas. And even Bill brought it up, abridging Power Rangers. Like we could go back to the old shit, like try to find some of the old, what is it? Henshin Go. And, try to abridge some of that shit in their metallic spandex uniform.
Damn right.
Like, there's all sorts of shit we could do with that. But again, we would need to be able to get everything down pat correctly.
Which I have been working on writing some script stuff to at least cover the first couple episodes at least right away. But in which case, I would say there'd be about, like, 5 or 6 characters just in those, like, first 2 full episodes.
Yeah.
So in which case, I mean, me and Seth would cover maybe 2 to 4?
Maybe. Oh, I was about to say, I can get quite a few people.
Let me hear them. Who are the characters? I don't know shit about this.
Neither do I. That's my homework because I got to watch a few of these episodes.
I was going to send Seth a couple YouTube links.
Yeah, I know.
A couple YouTube links to a few of the episodes to do a bit of research. But I do have the character lists that would be needed for this one arc that I'm doing. And I kind of made my own picks as to who I would try to do for some of the characters. For the voice acting.
That was burping brought to you by me.
I put myself down for the lead Teddy Ruxpin role, because why not? I put down Seth for Grubby.
Is that the lazy shit guy?
He's a lazy shit guy. Because he's got like...
When Scott did it, it was, I'm fucking lazy as shit type of thing.
Well, I mean...
That's awesome.
In that world, in that cartoon series, whatever, Grubby is kind of lazy, but he's got a good heart. Yes, it's a new character.
So essentially, just need to be my own damn self for that one.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, okay, all right. So there's a normal voice.
And he's even,
there we go.
He's even fouled mouth too.
Yeah, so I know.
That's one thing I was going to do with this was add vulgar and maybe a few different twists along the way.
Yeah, I was actually going to say that to you. Like, when it comes right down to it, the humor doesn't always come from cussing. Like, technically, is more of a comedy nut as I am. A lot of different schools will actually claim that when it comes down to comedy, sometimes just being filthy and vulgar isn't really comedic. It's like an easy cop out type of thing.
Yeah, I know that, but as most people remember, Teddy Ruxpin is a bear, like, humanoid bear, who's, I think the species is called Iliop. Grubby is kind of like a centipede person.
He's a Ted, Bill. You know, from the new movies.
Grubby is a...
Sits around, smokes out of a bong.
Grubby is a Iliop type of centipede type creature, so he's got six hands, arms, whatever.
Look, let me do this the easy way for you, Scotty. I'll help pitch the show. Okay, so the way that this is going to work out is it's a normal abridged, okay? Scotty's going to write out a script. Me and him are going to do up some voices. We're going to see if we can get all this shit to work correctly, because Bill is clearly sitting here like, I don't even fucking know if you guys should even be talking about this shit. But really, I kind of don't give a fuck. Like I said, it's an idea. And like I said, if we could get this to work.
I got nothing against it. I just, look, okay, when an abridged series works, it works because people that watch Dragon Ball Z watch Dragon Ball Z abridged.
Yeah.
People that played Final Fantasy watch Final Fantasy abridged. People that liked Yu Yu Hakusho watch the Yu Yu Hakusho abridged. Like, it works on a fan base. So you have to be able to target the fan base of Teddy Ruxpin.
Which is going to be difficult considering how long it's been since that.
That's exactly
series.
What I'm getting at. That's one of the things that's kind of throwing me off is...
But maybe they can reinvigorate interest in the original.
Exactly.
All right. No.
Could.
No, because here's the problem.
Can we reinvigorate interest in old children's shows?
Considering the fact that there's motherfuckers running around with their nostalgia boners out for Thundercats and He-Man, Masters of the Universe.
That's a little bit different.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different than, wasn't Teddy Ruxpin like, I mean, you're talking, isn't that like in the same era and line of like the Good Bears?
You mean the Care Bears?
No, the Good Bears.
And anything Hanna-Barbera?
And look at what I just said. I said the Good Bears, and y'all made the same face that I made with Teddy Ruxpin, which almost proves my point.
Well, again, when it comes right down to it, the main problem is you can't exactly reinvigorate, because when it comes down to the copyright laws, for those of you who actually paid attention to that, you know, podcast that I made, technically they can sue the fuck out of you if you can literally swap in, like literally as a replacement, whatever you have made for the original product. Now, the reason why DBZA...
Now, hold on. You see, now, in terms of the fair use, this is exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
How dead is Teddy Ruxpin? This is a question you have to ask, because if your show becomes super popular, and it replaces the current popularity of the old Teddy Ruxpin, you have infringed on fair use.
I don't think it will. I mean, it might spark interest back in it, but that might be it.
Because I don't know... Mm. I don't know a single person... I literally cannot name even one person in my whole life that right now wants to get on Netflix and stream Teddy Ruxpin.
Want? No. Have to? Yes.
But see?
but that's assuming it's on there, though.
But no, it's viable. Because if your product ends up more popular than the actual product of the copyright, then you have infringed on fair use.
Yeah.
Because you have replaced the original productivity.
Yeah. Now, considering the fact
now,
that
now, do I want to see you guys do this? Yes, because I want to see at least the first episode, and if you guys need help or want help, I'm all on board, but that doesn't mean I understand it. But I love the idea of voice acting and funny and comedy, and if it works, hey... Awesome.
Now you know the reason why I told him, like, from day one when he was like, here's this, like, 15-20 minute thing I did, check it out. And I was like, alright, this ain't terrible. Alright, let me give you a hand. I'll jump in and do some shit.
My preview was only, like, over a minute.
Yeah. I'm more than happy to help you with
whatever you need. If you guys think you have something here,
then that's awesome.
I think it's possible we might have something.
But I just want you to be ready... For the truth of it, that what you're about to do, I can't...
I don't...
As a matter of a technicality, even though you give out the normal disclaimer, like from Dragon Ball Z, Abridged...
Which I did in the preview.
Yu Yu Hakusho show in the preview. It's like,
but that
fan-made parody,
that
support official release,
use.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that really doesn't.
The only
All that
thing,
is that's a disclaimer being like, make sure you guys go out and buy the original shit and pay attention to it to keep our asses out of the fire.
Because what you need is you need the popularity of the original product to be more popular than the popularity of your product. if I was to put out a Star Trek, like a radio show, even if I say this is parody or satire, or this is just the continuing stories of my stuff, and I happen to be a Star Trek genius, and I happen to hit every chord that people have been missing throughout the years, and people drop the movies and start watching my show, I'm no longer protected by fair use. I'm going to get sued. I'm either going to get picked up by the network or sued by the network because my popularity has now infringed on theirs.
Yeah. Well, kind of like Dad's last weekend.
That's the reason I ask a very specific question. How many fans do you know personally of Teddy Ruxpin that would appreciate Teddy Ruxpin more than they would appreciate your satire show? Because if your satire show is more funny and more popular, you're more not fair use.
Well, considering we don't even have a full first episode.
Doesn't matter. It's a question that you ask before you ever start the production process. Welcome to the movies.
No, yep. not when I did this. I did this as like, I'll give it a shot. That's all I'll do. I'll give it a shot. Right.
And the only reason why it is that I'm still on board when it comes...
One of the first things you said was that you were like, oh, and I made the YouTube and everything, so I'm not getting this, oh, we get tagged thing. You might still get tagged.
Okay. I know.
Okay. Just as long as you understand.
I remember all the stuff that Team 4-Star went through, so I understand.
But yeah. Team 4-Star has one lucky thing on their side. They will never replace Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball Z. They even know it. That's the reason why they're okay.
Too awesome.
I mean, I'm not planning to replace the Adventures of Teddy Ruxpin. I mean, as far as I know, there's been plans many times for them to reboot the series.
But they haven't, which says something about their popularity right now.
Yeah. However, at the same time, since you keep bringing up their popularity, if we can't even name anybody, like anybody who would purposely... Okay. I know all of us love Animaniacs. We've all watched the shit out of it when we were kids.
But it's
we've
dead.
Gone out of our way to buy the DVDs. When I was with my ex, she had a 2/3-year-old, because it depends on what, you know, time of year that I was with her.
Right.
I was making him sit and watch Animaniacs. Now, not making, but you get sick of listening to fucking Mickey Mouse every goddamn day. Come here, Toodles. Get me the Miskatool.
Oh,
go eat
God.
A dick. Give me some good cartoons.
Yeah, he's right.
What
oh,
the
man.
Fuck happened to cartoons?
Some of the cartoons.
For children.
Some of the
what
cartoons
the
are
fuck?
Awful. Some of them are
so
awful.
So you get sick of listening to Dora. You get sick of watching fucking Mickey Mouse. You get sick of watching all these stupid Disney bullshit. A fucking doctor fixing toys. You get sick of it. Oh, yeah, now you got some opinion.
Scott. But let me tell you, you never get tired of Gabba Gabba.
Oh, my God.
No,
bib,
no,
bib,
you
bib.
Don't. Bib. Yeah, or Bibba Bib, yeah, yeah.
Bibba Bib.
Bibba Bib Bib?
Phil.
Yeah?
No Bib Bib.
Yes, Bibba Bib.
No.
Bib, 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 bib.
But,
but like I said, you know, I got fucking Animaniacs and I was having him watch it. We would get up, like, fucking YouTube off of our phones and we were letting him watch, like, either the new Turtles where some asshole leaked it on the fucking YouTube, or we would find the old shit from when we grew up. And, like, we sat down, we let him watch one. He was confused as fuck because he was used to new Turtles.
Yeah.
Then he watched 80s Turtles, and he kept looking up at me, being like, fuck is this shit? I'd be like, that's what I grew up with. And he was like cocking his head to the side, like, what the fuck? But yeah, like, most of us will go out of our way if we have kids or around kids to find shit that we grew up with. I cannot think of one single motherfucker on the face of this planet who grew up with it that would go out of their way to get this shit for their kids.
Look, I'm not saying that it's... Of all the things I thought you were about to drop on me, this was the farthest away from, like, I was like, oh shit, he's talking about this. Oh, he's gonna do a fucking parody show. Star Wars, it could be One Piece, it could be Final Fantasy, it could be Pokemon, it could be Batman, it could be, and then all of a sudden he says,
I would have loved if I could have gotten away with Thundercats.
All of a sudden he says, Teddy Ruxpin, and I was like, what just happened? Shit, I could even went for that He-Man.
Yeah.
Dolph 1000%, motherfucker.
Yeah, but like I said, think about it. There's a reason why I was like, fuck yeah, let's do that. How many motherfuckers think of Teddy Ruxpin? Zero.
He could have put his sword in the sky and said, I have the Lundgren!
Oh, for fuck's sake. But like I said, like even you made mention of it. How many motherfuckers are you thinking are going to be looking up shit for Teddy Ruxpin? Zero. Well, that's why this is a great idea.
We can test this.
See if we could get the voice acting to work right. And then if it does and some shit goes down, like Scotty said, he's got its own YouTube set up. So if flags start hitting it and it gets deleted.
So it gets affected and not us. Well, no, I completely understand. I'm interested to see what you guys are working
channel.
On. But I'm interested to see what you guys are working on.
If you want to check out, I guess, the test, it is on YouTube right now. Just look up Ruxpin Abridged. That's probably just the name I'm going to use for the show anyways, just Ruxpin Abridged, since it's not, like, long title. It's like,
Adventures of Ruxpin Abridged. Even though your fucking disclaimer, you were, like, at the ass end of the disclaimer was literally half the video, and you're like, this is a lot of shit. I'm like, oh, for fuck's
sake.
Which,
actually, if I'm lucky, we'll probably get that cut down a little bit. At least for the full episodes.
Yeah, technically when it comes down to the television show, you don't have to talk about who has merchandising rights, who has distribution rights on the toys type of thing.
I was just trying to look up all the people. Not only the creators, but the people who own the rights and stuff.
Okay, look, if you were gonna go that route, then that means when it comes down to DBZA, it wouldn't be Dragon... Yeah, what is it? It's... This is a fan-made parody. Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, and Dragon Ball GT are all owned by Funimation, Toei Animation, Fuji TV, and Akira Toriyama. Then you would also have to list the fact that Bandai owns the rights to the fucking toys.
They make the toys.
Then you have to go to Bandai Namco, who does the video games. Well, no, it's Bandai Namco, which I think is...
Did Atari lose it? Was Atari doing the games originally?
Atari
was doing it originally. Now it's Bandai Namco, but I think it's because Atari got... It's either Atari lost it or Atari got bought out by Namco, which Namco has since then been bought out by fucking Bandai.
But the problem with Teddy Ruxpin is the DVD and the video rights have probably been changed a lot.
Oh, I can believe that.
They have.
I mean, there was like at one point High Tops video was doing it.
I've even seen disclaimers at the starts where they say, I don't own this, so-and-so is owned by their respective authors and copyrights. And they just say their respective owners and copyrights. And that's all they had to drop, and then they're left alone.
Yeah.
Because you can look up the actual title and find that for yourself.
In fact, we can even do that one time, be like, do the lazy motherfucker and be like, Teddy Ruxpin is owned by, fuck it, you look it up. I don't feel like reading this goddamn 6 pages of bullshit. Type of thing.
We can try that.
Yeah. Like I said, like it doesn't have to be every fucking time, but just do something stupid like that every now and again. Be like, I don't feel like reading 6 pages of legal bullshit. You look it up. Fuck you. You know, something like that. But seeing as how we've wasted everybody's time, because we're at about an hour and a half, and...
What else you got, Scott?
Oh, I have the cast list of the characters that we'd be using in this first arc. Which would only be the first arc. The Teddy Ruxpin. Grubby. Dr. Newton Gimmick. Which is, I think, one of the few...
I loved Bill's face on that.
One of the few normal human-looking characters in the series.
Oh, he gets a fucked-up voice guaranteed. Oh, I'm giving that motherfucker a fucked-up voice if I got him.
Anyway, there's LB. Jack W. Tweeg. Prince Aaron, Princess Aruzia, Leota the Wood Sprite, the Woolly Whatsit, the Wizard, Louie the Camera Guy. Yeah, I know, just bear with it.
I almost want Bill to be the Wizard, so that way then he could use the same voice he had for fucking What's-His-Fuck from Metal Gear.
You're talking about Gray Fox.
Yeah.
Snake!
Mud Blubs, Gatangs, Fobs, and Bounders. And some of these will probably just be like how some of the Pokemon are, where they just kind of say their own name or something like that. It's like, Fobs, 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 or something like that.
So somebody spray a repel.
Oh god, that could work. That could work. But yeah, that's the cast list. Well, the character list for this one.
See, and again, that's kind of the joy, too, is like I said, when it comes down to writing the script, you could almost do it Ghostbuster style, where it's literally, okay, here's the, like, overall story, just try to get from, like, point A to point B, however you can, make it as funny as need be.
You think I haven't thought of that?
No, I'm just saying, like, that's how we could write the script, like, simply for this, since it's, you know, comedic. Because you know me, I'm more of an improv kind of guy than I am, like, scripted comedy.
I kind of am, too, but...
Yeah. But anyway, like I said, seeing as how it's already at an hour and 25 minutes, then we still have to drop the How to Get a Hold of Us, Whore Out the Website, Part 2. We have an hour and a half to get 2 Sentai videos done.
Sweet.
I think it's time to wrap this shit up, so... That's just kind of our idea for right now, for that, and...
Yeah.
What's been up? So,
That's what's up right now.
I think Bill needs to get up off his ass and hit a button.
I think he's still shocked with the Teddy Ruxpin idea.
Well, whatever. I'm going to run out and grab up a quick smoke. You guys get Sentai started.
Hey, guys. Did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomKnight.com. At FandomKnight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomKnight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.